We're going to talk today about part of the Lord's Prayer. So we've been teaching through the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the start of the prayer that Jesus taught, where he taught us to pray, Our Father. It's a prayer that encompasses each other, but it also encompasses every other church in this city and around the world. It encompasses every church throughout history, but it also, more important than even that, encompasses Jesus himself. The Lord's Prayer starts with the invitation by Jesus, our elder brother, putting his arm around us like this picture we showed, putting his arm around us and saying, come on, let's go talk to Dad about it. That's how our prayers start, reminding us that Jesus is with us and says, come on, let's go and talk to Dad about it. And as we go and approach the Father, we say, hallowed be your name. That means, Lord, we care about what people think about you. We care about the fact that your name is honored, that people understand that you're a God who loves them, that you're a God who sent Jesus so that the judgment that we all deserve fell on him instead of us. And we care that people know that you are holy, that you are pure, and that you are good. We honor your name. We want your name to be known and worshipped. And then we say, your kingdom come and your will be done. And last week, Chris was teaching on that. And if you weren't here, it's worth getting the podcast, which is on our website, to listen to that again, to help us think through what does it mean to say your kingdom come and your will be done for God's rule and reign, which is perfect in heaven, and has been demonstrated through the life and the work and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And the presence of the Holy Spirit allows us to dare to say, Lord, we want to see your will be done through us. We want to see your kingdom come. We trust that you know, God, how we should be living better than we do. Because if you look around in culture and society, I would like to suggest that we aren't doing a very good job of it. Suicide is going up. Mental health issues are going through the roof. We talk about living in a society where we're free, but people are trapped by things within them and things around them. Poverty traps people. These issues, only our God can address them. By helping us live the way that he wants us to live, the way that the Creator designed for us to live. So we pray, Father, we come to you with Jesus. We honor your name and we long for your name to be honored. We want to see your will being done and your kingdom being coming. It's your glory, your kingdom, your will. Our prayers begin setting us in the right relationship with God, not coming just with our to-do list of things that we want God to do this particular day. No. Our prayers start remembering who he is. And then, Jesus says, then say, give us today our daily bread. Now think about this. You're going to go and see God, Almighty God, who made the heavens and earth, who sorted out history from beginning to end, and we're saying to him, yeah, nothing break though, so no round of applause, come on. Pete's going next week, it's all right, he won't be around for much longer. We love you, and we'll be praying for Pete next week as he goes off to Edinburgh. Actually, let's give a thanks to the whole welcome team because they've done 2 sets of teas and coffees. They've welcomed everybody. They're sorting out lunch for us. We do love you. I'm only kidding. Almighty God, who set everything into motion, Jesus, our elder brother, says, when you go to Almighty God, you can say this, give us today our daily bread. You get to tell God what to do. What? Well, only when it's done in the right perspective. Only when we've said, you know what, God, it's your glory, your will, and your kingdom that comes first. And by the way, this is the stuff that I need too. Give us today our daily bread. And I wonder, we've been making bread today, but I wonder if anyone's ever been really, really hungry. Have you ever been really, really hungry? Toby's like, yeah, most days when I get home from school. I'm really, really hungry. They always ask for 2 chocolate biscuits when they come in from school. I don't know what your thing to have when you got back from school was, but 2 chocolate biscuits is our little snack. Not particularly healthy, don't tell the teachers. But I wonder if you've ever been really, really healthy. Well, God's people, when Moses had delivered them from the slavery of Egypt, found themselves in the desert and found themselves really hungry. Here's a picture of what the desert might have looked like when they were there. That's obviously a photo of Moses. It's original to that time. So they've got no way of growing any crops. They've got no way of harvesting any wheat to get any flour. How in the world are they going to get any bread? If they eat the sheep that they've got, then that's where their finances are invested in. That's their property, as it were. So they're going to lose out. They can't just kill every animal they've come out with. What are they going to do? So they go to God. We're crying out to you, God. What are we going to do? And in Exodus 16, we read that God told them that he would provide. When they woke up the next morning, there was what looked like frost on the ground. So here's a picture of frost. The Bible says it, this stuff looked like flakes of frost. But that when the dew had evaporated, the flakes were still there. And it turned out that they could gather it all up. And it was the same color as coriander seed. And you were able to bake it into flat bread that apparently tasted like it was made with honey. I think that sounds quite nice. They called it manna. They called it manna. And God provided for his people in the desert. Now, he also said, I want you to gather a certain amount of this manna. You're allowed to collect 1.5 kilograms per person in your family. Now think about it. That's 3 bags of flour. That's quite a lot of flour for one person. So God has provided every single day enough, if not more than enough, for what the family needs. You see, we've said, God, we're committed to the glory of your name. God, we're committed to seeing your will being done, and we're committed to your kingdom coming. And in turn, we trust that you will provide for us. And God says, do you know what? I will provide, and you will always have enough. But you may not have more than enough. Because God had also said, I just want you to collect 1.5 kilograms per person each day for each person. I want to provide for today. I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. I want to provide for today. But there were some people who were like, nah, we know better than God. So we're going to go out and collect enough for today and enough for tomorrow. And you know what happened to the bread that they made that they left until the next day? I was going to put a photo on, but it's pretty gross. Because they found the next day it was full of maggots and it was full of mold. And this stuff that they had got, because God was providing for them, not just today, but tomorrow, they were taking God beyond what it was that he was saying. And it turned out that it was completely inedible. They couldn't eat it. God will provide enough for what you need today. And the reason he provides enough for what you need today and possibly make you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow is so that we grow in our relationship of trust with him. And people, I'm preaching to myself right now, just as much as preaching to you, because it's a constant reminder that the Lord will look after us today and that we trust him for the future, but we don't assume that he'll provide for the future in the present, because tomorrow isn't here yet. And there's this powerful word on the screen, enough. 1.5 kilograms of manna was enough for each person. In fact, it was probably more than enough for each person. We don't need more than enough, but our culture tells us that we do. Our culture tells us, kids, that if our friends have got the latest football boots or the latest games console or the latest toy, that we need to have it too. Because if we haven't got a fidget spinner, then we're not cool. If you don't know what a fidget spinner is, go and ask Toby. I'm sure he'll be very happy to show you what a fidget spinner is. But one fidget spinner is enough, Toby. One is enough. We owe them a pound every time we mention them, so there we go. I'm going to stop mentioning him. You can afford another one, exactly. One is enough. We don't need a whole collection. Now, sometimes you get into collecting, that's fine, but we need to know when to say enough. Parents or grown-ups, when our friends get a cool new car or a cool new apartment or a cool new boyfriend, girlfriend, slash insert whatever you like here, and something goes on inside of us that makes us think, ah, we need that too. The grace of God allows us to say enough. When someone offers you that extra glass of wine, you can say, I've had enough. I've had enough. Enough sometimes is enough. See, Jesus calls us to be satisfied with what we have and have our eyes fixed on him, not our appetites around us. Because the people of God were defined by their appetites. We're hungry, and so we need God to provide more for us. Don't allow your life to be defined by your appetites. Allow your life to be defined by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus, who knows what is best for you. Because Jesus taught his disciples this: don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Isn't that amazing? The Lord knows what we need before we even ask him. He is God, after all. And we go to him saying, Lord, we need this and we need that and we need that and we need that. And he goes, yeah, I know. And I'm able to provide for you, but I want you to put first things first. My will first. Because when you follow my will, then you will find that the other things fall into place. He cares about us, Almighty God. He cares enough to say that we can say, give us today our daily bread. He expects us to ask him to provide for us because he's the one who looks after us. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But these things are not meant to be the focus of our attention. The focus of our attention is on Jesus, not those things around us. We need to live differently. You see, Jesus said this to his disciples. Straight after saying that, don't worry, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Yeah, that's right. The next slide. Thank you. All these things will be given to you as well. You see, when we make God's priority our priority, then he makes our needs his priority. Let me say that again. When we make God's priorities our priorities, he makes our needs his priority. That's amazing. Say it to the person next to you, because it's amazing. When we make God's priorities, he makes our needs his priorities. That's what it means that God will provide. Write it down and take it home. Stick it on your mirror. There's a lady called Heidi Baker who's a missionary in Mozambique. I'm nearly done. Here's a photo of Heidi Baker. She's an American, but she ministers in the poorest country in the world. She felt like God said, go and serve the poor. So she and her husband said, well, where's the poorest place in the world? Mozambique. So off they went and they started to do ministry, tell people about Jesus. They have seen hundreds of people physically healed by Jesus. They have seen dozens of people raised from the dead by Jesus. As they've prayed, and people have come to faith, thousands have come to faith in Jesus because of what it is that Heidi and her team have done. But they live in the poorest country on earth. So provision and having enough is a bit of a challenge, you know? It's a bit more challenging than perhaps you and I might face at times. And their prayer, when they're in need, is this. Lord, what are you going to do about it? Lord, how are you going to provide? When you're facing need, this is the question that you need to go to God with. Father, how are you going to provide? How are you going to sort this out? Because I'm making your priorities my priorities, so I'm trusting that you're making my needs your priorities. You see, we said this 2 weeks ago, Matthew 7, chapter 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God loves you and he wants to provide for you as a loving father looks after their children. So the question is, will you let him? The question is, will you trust him? The question is, will you give your desires and your appetites and your life to him so that he will in turn look after you? And then finally, it's not give me today my daily bread. It's give us today our daily bread. It's really important that in prayer we don't just bring to God our needs, but we pray for things like the elections in France today. We pray for people like Andy Burnham, who got elected this week to be the mayor of Greater Manchester. We pray for Paul Dennett, our mayor, the city mayor of Salford. We pray for the needs of other people in our community. We pray for Brenda the Verger, who's 81 years old and sets out the church every week so that we can have the 9:30 worship, who broke her hip and is being brought back today in an ambulance because she's had a hip replacement. And we pray for her recovery. We pray for provision for those that we need who are struggling. We pray for those people who we know are going through difficulties in their workplaces or in their families, because we want to see God's kingdom come in their lives as well as in our lives. Amen. So do we pray and trust in God? Do we pray and trust in God for ourselves? Do we pray and trust in God for others? This is the invitation. We come to God today in prayer, seeking his will first, choosing to be satisfied with enough. We talk about our car. There's lots of cars that are getting nicked around where we live, primarily German cars. You know, it was in the news, somebody got killed because somebody stole their car and they ran them over as they tried to go and protect it. There's this group of people stealing particularly German-made cars. Well, ours is a knackered Toyota. And amazingly enough, nobody's tried to nick it. But all around our community, cars are getting broken into, stolen. Ours was broken into, but they still didn't steal it. It's enough. I don't particularly like driving around in my Toyota, especially with the scratch that Lizzie put on it. But I don't... Listen... It is going to cost me more than £1. You're absolutely right. Lizzie's never driven one of our cars into the other car, though, which I've done twice. So let's be clear. I might sound really mean, but I might need to do more digging than that a little bit later. But I don't particularly like our car, but it's enough. It does what we need it to do. And I keep crying out to the Lord, Lord, it'd be nice to have a really fancy car, but it's enough. I don't need a fancy car because it gets us around. It does what we need it to do as a family. And maybe one day the Lord might hear my prayer. But until then, it's enough. So we come to God in prayer, seeking his will first. We're satisfied with enough. And we trust him to provide for what we need.